Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 113, Breathing Room.
Two dozen unmarked cardboard boxes for.
So, what are we looking for?
I'm not exactly sure. It might be an old taxidermied gorilla skin, or not. Apparently it should be obvious.
Right. Then let's get on with it.
So, you actually met Vampire Trevor, then?
I met quite a few people from the statements. You remember Dr. Elliot, the anatomy students trying to pose as people who definitely weren't people?
Oh, yeah.
Well, turns out one of them became a police officer. Or pretended to.
Ooh, is that the one that Trevor...
Yes.
And he killed it?
It's not a simple... Found anything yet?
A bunch of eyeless paintings?
Snap! Eyeless dolls. Oh, and this lot of shredded newspapers.
Same.
Oh, there's a book in this one.
Don't touch it.
Oh! Right.
Let's not touch any books we don't know.
Right.
The back. It's just a notebook, I think.
What's in it?
I'm not sure. Names, locations, dates. I'll check properly later. It doesn't look like it's to do with the unknowing, I don't think. Right.
So, how was it? America and China.
I don't know.
I've never really actually... done any, you know, travelling.
It's not all that. Sometimes you get shot by a ghost.
And refuse to give a statement about it.
Yep.
It was nice, Martin. It was weird. Paranoia is an odd combination with culture shock. Really rather disorientating.
I mean, it wasn't actually paranoia, though, was it? Because they were out to get you.
I suppose that they were.
Wasn't a great time back here, either.
Oh, God, Melanie, of course, I'm sorry. If I'd known that Ivy Meadows was...
What? You'd have told me? Let me learn from one of your statements instead of from Elias. I don't see that changing anything.
Even so, I am... I'm sorry.
I don't need your apology. Or your pity.
Of course. Martin's plan is solid, I think.
I mean, they might just kill him.
Good.
I mean, maybe, but I think they're still our best chance. Even if we did manage to blindside him, I don't know how long we could hold him.
And in fairness, he's happy enough to use the police against us.
Quite. And I'd rather not be staring down a kidnapping charge on top of everything.
John?
Yes?
I think I found that gorilla skin you were talking
perfect.
About.
Perfect. Now if or, we can just...
I'm afraid... What's left of it?
Oh.
Yeah.
So, she did destroy it.
Apparently.
Right. So if that's not what we're looking
John,
for...
John!
What?
I think I found it.
What is it?
I think you're going to want to see this.
Good Lord, is that...
Looks like it.
Where the hell did she get this? Martin, don't touch it.
Sorry? Is it stable?
How should I know? I don't even know what kind it is.
I mean, it looks like C4.
Are you just saying that because it's the only plastic explosive you've ever heard of?
Well, I mean, that is to say...
So many other things.
Martin, stop trying to touch the plastic explosives.
Sorry. Guys.
Just put your hands in your pockets or something.
I said I'm sorry.
Guys.
What?
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
It's like...
Oh, God damn it. Right. Okay.
Is that...
What were you thinking, bringing that along?
I forgot.
You forgot? Turn it off!
I am. Just give me a second.
Turn it off!
Statement of Adelard Decker regarding the near-death and subsequent activities of Justin Goff. Statement undated, likely circa 2012. Audio recording by Jonathan Sims, head archivist of the Magnus Institute, London. Statement begins. Gertrude. It should all be here, though God knows I was tempted to take a block for myself just in case. I won't even press you for where you got it, though if some of these leads pan out, I might need to ask you to track down some more. I assume whatever surveillance meant you needed me to move it is only keeping track of you, but let me know if there's anything I need to be on the lookout for. Anyway, you owe me a favour. And... maybe another one, once you read this. It might come to nothing, but it's something you should probably be aware of. I'll even make it a statement. Give your patron something to keep it satisfied. It's not like I sleep enough to worry about dreams. I was pursuing my researches into the new emergence I mentioned earlier. I know you are dismissive of the possibility, but if I'm right, the sudden urgency of these immediate dangers you are so focused on could very well be a direct result. But that's for another day, as this particular instance turned out to be unconnected. The point is, I was alerted to a series of deaths by a coroner friend of mine. Although all signs pointed to carbon monoxide poisoning, the bodies showed signs of acute distress, the sort you don't normally get when you die in your sleep. There was blood pooled in the back of the throat, and the vocal cords were shredded, although no neighbours reported hearing a sound. And most importantly, at all three scenes, there was evidence of a second person who had apparently left without suffering any ill effects. The deaths were about a fortnight apart, and when the third came in with the same symptoms, Bianca, the coroner, called me in. For the last few years, we've had an arrangement. I slip her a bit of cash to feed a nasty habit she has, and if she's called to any inquest which looks strange, I'm the first to know. Despite her weakness, Bianca is still a damn good coroner, and filled me in on the details quickly. The deaths had been carbon monoxide, she said, and by way of example showed me a plastic cup full of blood. It was bright red. Cherry red, Bianca told me. A good sign of CO poisoning. But apparently they hadn't found any trace of the gas in the homes of the deceased.